Welcome to Oh No You Didn't. We watched this shit so you don't have to. This week, Star Trek Voyager Season 2, Episode 15, Threshold. So, let's go. Before you were born! Welcome to the second episode of Oh No You Didn't, a podcast reviewing the worst in sci-fi, fantasy, and TV and films. I am Shane, and joining me as always is my good friend Darren.
Hi all!
And on this episode, I am very, very grateful and very, very honoured to be joined by two very, very special guests, Peter and Anne-Marie Organ.
Hello!
Hello!
Before we get started, Peter and Anne-Marie, do you want to tell our listeners where we can find you on the internet?
Yes. We're on geekplanetonline.com. We do a Star Trek Next Generation Deep Space Nine podcast called The Borgcast, which is also available on iTunes.
On Twitter, I'm BorgcastAmmo.
And I'm Rev_org.
Excellent. On this particular episode, we will be covering Star Trek Voyager Threshold. Yes.
Mummy, please let the bad TV stop.
You know what you were, you know what were happening when you signed up for this, Darren. Yes. So, shall we get this big pile of rubbish started, shall we? So, we start, and Paris is trying to get his shuttle to warp 10.
And that's not a euphemism, by the way.
It is now.
with all that judgery and shaking in the shuttle craft, it actually looks like Paris was actually trying to make love to the shuttle.
Well, as opposed to make love in the shuttle like he did a few episodes earlier than this.
Well, that, yeah, that's true.
Or nearly was convinced he was anyway.
We are talking about Kaz, much, much more hot than the 7 of 9. Shame she doesn't look like that now.
Well, I think women get better as they mature, personally.
I'm sat next to him, so I'm staying stum.
Probably wise.
And we met, and the show explodes, but then we realise he's actually on the holodeck.
Yes, I think by now they've realised that a lot of the audience don't like... It's sort of a half and half. Half the audience love Robert Duncan McNeil, the other half absolutely detest him, so they keep teasing us with him dying.
Yes. I'd forgotten just how much I didn't like him, actually. Mainly because there are so many other characters that I hate even more, but I must have been sitting and going, oh, gosh, I thought I liked this character, but I didn't, did I?
Yes, it's easier to like him when Chuckles is heavy in the episode. I mean, Chakotay.
Oh, him. Yeah, I'd forgotten about him. And then he appeared on the screen and I went, oh, bollocks.
And I forgot about Kez, and then she appeared on the screen and we went, oh, bollocks. It was just like a succession of characters that we'd managed to wipe from our memories.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, at least one good thing about Kez, she was easy on the eyes.
Kind of, although that weird bonnet didn't do any favours, really.
No, it reminded me a bit of Hawkman, actually, her hair.
Look, Rogers. And now she doesn't seem attractive at all.
No.
Yes. Little bit of black and grey paint, and there you are.
No, in this series, I'm hot for B'Elanna, is my main one.
Oh, definitely, yes.
Yeah.
But then you do like fiery women, don't you?
Yes, dear.
Yeah, just agree with the wife. You'll be fine.
The secret to a happy life is a happy wife.
Yes, I wonder why I'm single. that's the end of the cheese. We go into the first act. And they're all in the mess hall trying to fix the problem. And Neelix offers to help.
Yeah, but my notes just say, fuck off, Neelix.
Yes, this was meant to be a comedy scene, wasn't it?
I think so.
Yeah.
And it really doesn't wash, because Ethan Phillips is usually very good at comic timing, but Neelix never quite came across as comic. He came across as annoying.
Yeah, yeah. He did. Or inept, or both.
Yep.
So let me get this straight. You're trying to fix a problem which is going to be impossible to solve, and you send the chief engineer away for the chef
and junk dealer.
Yeah.
The Star Trek heads at a steptoe.
Yeah. This doesn't compute in my brain. But that's what we were talking about Neelix as well. So.
Sadly.
Yes.
I probably used a bad analogy, because if Neelix is tiptoe, that probably makes Kes the sun.
Oh, yeah.
Harold? Harold?
So, sorry, I've been rewatching a lot of old British comedies. Dad's Army, Steptoe and Son, A Are Being Served. They had some brilliant stuff in the sort of mid-70s to mid-80s was absolutely gorgeous stuff.
You caught with any Walkman and Wise?
Yep.
Yeah. Awesome stuff.
And Yes Minister, which is probably still my favourite comic show ever.
Yeah, that's aged really well as well, in danger of not talking about Voyager here, but...
Yes, it's true.
Yes, oh, it's fine. Don't worry about it.
I shouldn't bring up excellent television when
we're
reviewing.
You've got a choice between talking about Voyager and talking about something other than Voyager, and you're going to talk about something other than Voyager, aren't you?
You can tell we're big Voyager fans, can't you?
Yes.
This is why we're stopping at Deep Space Nine.
Yeah, we're not going any further.
So no Enterprise, then?
Oh, no!
just don't.
The one thing I'll say in Enterprise's favour is it's better than I expected it to be, but it was still rubbish.
Yeah.
Yes. Anyway, back to Voyager.
Sorry.
Fine.
Sorry, I just went off on a little voyage of my own then.
Yeah. Neelix somehow solved.
Again?
Chef. You're trusting the chef.
Look, my notes on this particular scene say. Boring techno babble and Neelix.
Nice combo.
Yes. Every time we mention Neelix, I'm having a sip of cider.
Ah, drinking game. Like it. Joining.
Neelix. There we go. Yes. So, in the simulation, they actually get to Warp 10.
Yep.
And they go to the briefing room, and I can actually just see in Janeway's eyes, when she says congratulations, I can just see it in her eyes, fuck you all, I'm taking all the credit for this.
I'd forgotten how annoying her voice was.
Yes, it's definitely a pack-a-day smoker there, you can hear it in the voice.
Yeah, it's not a great accent, is it?
I don't know that it's the accent, it's actually the voice. It's just, it just makes me want to punch her in the mouth and tell her to shut up. Somebody else with a voice that was less gravelly / whiny, but with the same accent, would be fine.
Although, in Kate Mulgrew's defence, I mean, her previous show was Mrs. Columbo, where she played the wife of a beloved detective character. And now she's taking over from Genevieve Bujold on a show that wasn't really designed to go around her acting style. So I'll give Kate Mulgrew some trooper points. Not for Janeway, just for the actress.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that I have a problem with her. Well, in this episode, I did have a problem with her acting, but I don't remember having problems with her acting. Because we watched the whole of... Was it the first two seasons we watched, I think? Mm. I don't remember having a problem with her acting. It's just her voice. Mm. Oh, particularly, it doesn't happen in this episode, but later on, she sits there in a chair with her hair slightly askew, shaking slightly, and goes, "Quaffy! Get me some Quaffy! I need Quaffy!" That annoyed me.
Well, yes. What would you say, the original Janeway or Kate Mulgrew?
Oh, Kate, definitely. They definitely were right in getting rid of Genevieve, who is a good actress, but she just doesn't suit this part.
Okay. Janeway enters Parrish's quarters at night and reviews that he can't go on the away mission.
See, my notes on this are nice dressing gown. And then, because he's holding a pad and looking slightly sheepish, was he looking at porn? And then it makes me wonder, how can she just go, "Hello, I'm sorry to disturb you," at night? Does she not, you know, ring a bell, give some warning, whatever, you know? Is he not entitled to some privacy? I mean, he's in his dressing gown.
I'm going to go along with you on the watching porn, because he does have a juvenile hissy fit when she gives him his instructions.
Yep.
I mean, this is a military vessel, guy. You've been told by the captain you're not the one on the mission. And no one's really interested in your personal development. The issue is the mission.
Yep.
Yep.
What I really don't like is that he says the chance of it happening is 2%. However, in your day-to-day life, the chances of you having a mishap is 1 in 34. So, yeah, 34? 1 in 34? Or 2%?
Yeah, still with medical condition, 2% is reasonably high odds. Especially when we're talking about an embolism, essentially a stroke.
So and how would the doctor know, because no one's ever done this before?
That's a good point, actually. How would the doctor know if nobody's ever done it before?
I just think the doctor doesn't like Robert Duncan McNeil either.
Paris gets on the shuttlecraft and launches it. And I don't know about you, but this felt like Apollo 13 a lot, this particular scene. With the launch sequence.
Not seen Apollo 13.
I've not seen Apollo 13.
Okay.
I have, but it was a long time ago.
And also Janeway treating Harry like a complete and a dick, telling Harry to open the shuttle bay doors, launch the shuttlecraft, like he doesn't know this already. And then Paris goes faster and faster and faster. Then he hits to warp 10. Then he vanishes.
Hooray! And there was much rejoicing.
Oh, yes, but concerned. Chakotay is concerned.
How could you tell that?
Yes, I think in acting class, we know what sort of tree he played. He played a Chakotay tree.
Yes, okay. The shuttlecraft reappears, they find Paris alive. Doctor scans him and he said he's merely sleeping, so he wakes him up. Then he recounts his transport flight to Captain Janeway. And suddenly he's watching himself and you can see the outside of the shuttle, Voyager, and basically everything in the entire galaxy.
So we stopped off at the planet of hippies and got some really awesome LSD. Oh, sorry, this is Star Trek, LDS.
And then he turned the shot, he saw that everybody was searching for him, so he turned the shuttle around and stopped the engines, which brought him right back to where he started.
Obviously.
Kind of defeats the purpose of this as a travel method, doesn't it?
I was thinking that at the time. Turn off the engines and return to the beginning, so you may as well never have bothered.
Yeah.
To be fair, it's good that the one good scene of the episode is the Doctor waking Tom by shouting at him.
Yes, that's true.
That did give me a smile, and it was typical. It was the Doctor that got the best part of the entire episode.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
See, now I'm thinking of the Doctor as Steptoe.
That's bad, yeah.
Oh, goodness. Then they all celebrate. They see the amount of data that Tom's recorded. Second time in about 3 or 4 episodes that they've had a huge amount of data. Because they did that same thing in Twisted, which was one of the last episodes of season 1.
I didn't realise Brent Spiner made a cameo. I didn't see him.
I wish he would. It would make the episode 10 times better. He'd been released from sick bay. He feels ill. Then he finds out he's allergic to the water.
And the audience realises again that they're allergic to him.
Yeah.
There's actually a very, very rare medical condition. People can actually be allergic to water. But it's usually done by touching water. Know, through the pores of the skin, and not by ingesting it.
Well, considering about 70% of our bodies are water.
Yeah.
And it's kind of important to live.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
You sure that's not just kids not wanting baths? Ah, I'm allergic to water. Can't touch it.
Now, apparently it reacts something to the pores and the actual layer of skin there. So the water inside the body is fine, but the water, you know, apparently. It's what, something I read earlier today.
On the internet?
Yes.
Yes. It must be true.
Yes. If it's on the internet, it must be true.
1 second, I've got a frog with you. Hate when the frog won't move.
Ribbit? Ribbit?
Yeah.
There we go. I think it's gone.
For a person with the name Fozzie Bear, the frog's always been a thorn in my side.
So, Paris is actually dying, and the audience goes, hurrah, again. And then he actually dies.
Yes, but it's only temporarily.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the doctor says he'll perform the autopsy in the morning.
Why does a holographic doctor worry about doing it now or in the morning? Because, I mean, presumably he doesn't sleep.
And traditionally you do autopsies as fast as you possibly can.
That's what I was thinking. He's not got the excuse that he's worked a long shift and needs to have some kip, does he?
No.
And then you see him working on a... He sat at his desk working on a computer. And you think, well, why does he need to do that? He is the computer, effectively.
Yeah.
It made no sense at all for him to be using one of their laptop thingies.
It makes sense when you realise that Brad and Brager wrote this episode.
And it makes sense when you realise this is the only episode of Star Trek which had been taken out of continuity. This episode does not exist as far as Star Trek continuity is concerned.
All right, who made that decision?
Everyone who watched it?
Yes!
StarTrek.com did a big poll, it's about 6 or 7 years ago, about canon, to try and solve all the arguments that they were having on their chat boards. And the episode from TAS that deals heavily with Spock's childhood was included, and this was excluded.
Ooh. Yes.
So this would rank below the half-hour kids version of Star Trek. Well, the
Say no more.
Yeah. Collect them all. It's like Pokemon. only Pokemon's better. The only thing I can think of is that the Doctor knew how close Kes and Paris were and just wanted to save her feelings, just let her sleep on it overnight.
I think the same we didn't see was him inviting Neelix in for a glass of champagne to celebrate.
Yeah. So we find out that Paris has two hearts. He's a Time Lord!
Yeah.
No, he's not.
No. No, but he does turn into Jesus, though. Could he magically he returns to life, so we do have a Jesus moment there.
Or the Antichrist, because the Antichrist is supposed to be resurrected in time too.
Well, that would make more sense.
Yeah,
I just think of it as a bit like comic books, because if somebody dies in a comic, they never stay dead, do they?
No.
That's true.
Yeah. So it's because he knew that he was going to be, what was that twat he called himself? Was it Captain Proton?
Yes.
So he's unkillable as a result?
Yes. The one thing I liked about Captain Proton was when 7 and 9 went on the holodeck to play it, and all she did was just killed the bad guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
So that's the end of the third act. The act four starts with crewman Michael Jonas in his quarters sending data on the Warp 10 shuttle flight to a Kazon named Ratak.
Yeah, forgot about the Kazon as well.
Yeah, they were crap and all, weren't they? Birds shat in their hair.
Yeah, which has no relevance to the rest of this particular episode.
Although it does come up in later episodes of the season.
It does.
Yeah, I remember it coming up later.
It does.
Which kind of is this show in a nutshell. Seska was probably the most interesting character they had on this show, and they turned her into a bit part player instead of a main character.
Mm. Yep.
Yep.
Even though I did actually prefer her as a Romulan in Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
Yes, I did. I did like Senator Kreatak, wasn't it?
No, it was the one in the Search Part 1 and Part 2.
Oh, okay.
The open episodes of Season 3. Yeah. And Peter and Emery are thinking to themselves, I don't remember that.
That's what I was thinking. We've found that I have a good memory for the Next Gen episodes. But I can remember, I say, certain key episodes of DS9, but in total, you're probably thinking of a maximum out of 7 series, 10 episodes that I can remember clearly enough to talk about them without watching them first. It's a brilliant series, but I think it must have just been too long since I last did a rewatch for me to have a good enough memory, because Peter will go, we're covering such and such episode. I'll be going, what? What's that? Tell me again. Or he'll mention something and something that happens, and I'll be like, does it?
Well, don't worry, you've got some classic episodes like Move Along Home coming up.
And no, that I do remember. Sadly.
Oh, you poor thing.
I did have some artistically brilliant episodes, DS9, though, so I'll give it that.
They had some really awesome episodes, but what the ones that I remember most are from Season 6.
Yep. I think that's fair. That's when it gelled perfectly, but it hadn't gotten self-conscious yet.
Yeah.
Because the Season 7, it then went off the boil a bit. But,
Yeah. Babylon 5 and Deep Space 9 do have commonality when that comes a very, very disappointing final season.
Yeah.
When it comes to Babylon 5, shall we say Byron?
Don't.
That's a swear word. Did you not know? Well, yeah. Not that I'm ever bothered by swearing. anyone who listens to the broadcast would know, but even so, Byron, oh, wash your mouth out.
I have done with alcohol.
Good plan!
I don't remember Lord Byron completely forgot the show we were talking about now.
Babylon 5!
Yeah, that may be a survival mechanism. Don't try and remember. Don't Google. Just leave it be. Your life is better that way.
Well, it's the one thing I love about the Babylon 5, and I've commented about this in other podcasts, it's the one thing I've ever seen in which Walter Koenig was convincing.
No, he's really good at it.
He is awesome, yeah.
I occasional guest host on the Down Below podcast, which is the Babylon 5 introcast. So, yeah, that's a lot of fun. And recording and commentary for, and the Sky Watch for the Stars a few weeks ago, which was an amazing time. And I'll be going back on that podcast to discuss Babylon Squared in a few weeks' time.
Ooh. I'm going to have to do a rewatch because I can't remember any details about the show anymore. I think you're right about defensive mechanisms.
Yeah.
Anyway, we've talked a very, very long time on actually good sci-fi. So let's go back to this crap. So where did we get to?
We're on the threshold of talking about threshold.
Yeah.
Allergic to water. We'd had a whole long discussion about being allergic. And the autopsy, that's where we got to.
Yeah.
Dr. Bruce Janeway on Paris' condition, and it's not just Paris' body, but personality is affected. He seems to be a bit deranged.
More than a bit.
Well, yeah, that's true.
For Paris.
Yes.
He actually manages to make his character seem even more unlikable, but he does manage it.
I thought he was channeling Nick Locarno.
No.
Oh, I disagree. I was thinking Paris has had a personality improvement.
He says he feels like a lab experiment went wrong. She offers to help.
Well, that's this show in a nutshell again, though, because it really was a lab experiment that went wrong. They basically... To get Paris as a character, they basically got the most popular actor, a guest actor with teenage girls from TNG.
Yeah.
They have an argument. He starts to choke, then he pulls his own tongue out.
That is a good moment, actually. It's really freaky. And the makeup looks really good, to give him that view.
I have to say, Robert Duncan McNeil acts his socks off on this episode. Shame the script was so bad. I do have to say, though, if you're going to get a character pulling his own tongue out, don't give him any more dialogue.
Especially with the letter N in it. He pronounces the N perfectly, a word you'd need your tongue for.
It does all become a bit Elephant Man from Melanie Woods, doesn't it? It's so sorry.
Now I've just gone to a Tropic Thunder place. You went full retard.
Elephant Man meets the Hunchback of Notre Dame.
The doctor says the treatment, and he takes Bertie's body to main engineering to have some anti-proton radiation from the warp core. He's in a restraint, and if you can have a lovely big action sequence with phasers going off and a big attack from everywhere, we don't get to see it.
No.
Do we?
I think the budget was a bit stretched by this time.
They may as well have had somebody from engineering overheard saying, "Wow, this looks really awesome. It's a shame you're not seeing this right now."
Yeah. We're doing something exciting. We're doing something exciting.
Yes. Then Paris kidnaps Janeway.
Yeah. So up to this point, it wasn't a great episode. But this is where it gets absolutely bizarre.
Yeah.
And they find them both on the planet 3 days away. So, question. Earlier in the episode, he drops the engine, and he returns back to where we started.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Then, later on in the episode, he drops the engines and he's on a planet 3 days away.
Yeah.
Also, he could have picked any planet in the entire universe. And he's
why
so
only
good...
3 days away?
Yes!
More sense to be, you know,
yeah,
72
I know.
Years away!
He hadn't had time to waste. He had to get on with the Shaggy.
Right.
Although that does bring up a good line from Janeway, the whole thing about what makes you think it was your idea.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that was just really unsavory.
So how to make an awkward moment even more awkward?
Yes.
Yeah.
Just oh yeah.
Maybe I kind of fancy you as a newt.
Oh dumb.
Yes. And let's go on all this thing about this natural human evolution.
Yeah. How is it evolution to become a newt?
Yes.
No, backwards devolution.
Yes.
Or de-evolution or whatever. Yes. Regressing. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Going forward, no.
No.
No. Not at all. Lose speech. And I mean, I don't know, unless they're telepathic...
Newts.
Newts that can change form at will or something. You know, they've got no opposable thumb. They can't talk. They can't...
For heaven's sake, they haven't even got the internet. How advanced is that?
Yeah, they've got no Wi-Fi. They're fucked. Just no, just wrong and bad and ugly and wrong and sick.
Yes. And we get this big, great scene of them regressing back to the human form via a log entry.
Yeah.
So we can have this big episode about Worf having a broken back, and it runs the entire episode of all the medical problems with the broken back, and we get to this particular episode and we get the evolution or the, you know, reformification, if you will, of Paris and Janeway in a log entry.
Yep. And what about the babies? Who's looking after the babies now?
Yes, I mean,
these
just
super three. Advanced human babies at that.
Just six episodes ago we had a long lecture from Neelix about how you don't abandon newborns.
Yep.
Well, presumably there's some sort of frog spawn, so maybe just some fish comes along and eats it.
Oh! And now you're reminding me of Andromeda.
I think we watched one episode of
one
that
once. Failed, yeah.
In the pilot episode, one of their main characters... And we actually find out the details of his life story later, but one of their main bad guys was a species of basically fish who spawn, eat everything in their path until they mature into sentient life forms. And speaking of which, that was actually a better episode than this one.
Yeah! It's not hard.
No, wouldn't be difficult.
So we've got this big, huge... thing of it being Warp 10, small problem, everybody de-evolves or evolves, depending on which way you look at it, into salamanders.
Yeah.
And because of that small problem, it's never mentioned again. Even though we actually see the Doctor being able to reverse the effect. So why didn't they use it again?
I got no idea.
Well, it would have ended the series, like, 4 seasons in advance, which would have been a mercy.
That's not a bad thing.
Maybe Rick Berman behind the scenes put a ban on ever mentioning it again after he watched the rushes for the episode.
Did they do that at any point? Did anybody do that at any point with other bad episodes of Trek? Did anybody ever say that was so bad, that's not counting, that's not canon, we don't mention it again and it never happened?
Not that I'm aware of.
I think this is the only episode. I mean, even Shades of Grey is canon.
Well, most of Shades of Grey happened in other episodes anyway.
That's true.
I mean, Shades of Grey's biggest problem is it's just boring because it's just a bunch of stuff you've already seen.
Oh, what about the racist one? Does that still count as canon?
Code of Honor.
Yeah.
Because they get the African world gets mentioned again, doesn't it? So.
And what about Justice?
Well, that gets referenced in Shades of Grey, so...
Yeah, as far as I'm aware, this is the only one that was decanonized. But, I mean, even with other episodes, other bad episodes from other Trek series, I mean, with Spock's brain, you've got at least the actors playing it, realizing the script was garbage, and so sort of playing it with a bit of camp humour, which gives it a sort of a chic value. With the DS9 ones, usually you've got references to other things because they've actually got a series planned for that one and they're referencing the Dominion in passing very early on.
I don't know. We'll have to see when we get there. But is there anything in Move Along Home that means it has to be canon, or can we just chuck that out the window?
Well, we'll find out soon.
Yeah, absolutely.
The one good thing you have in that, if I remember correctly, is a brilliant scene between Quark and Odo.
Well, that's the other thing, isn't it? I mean, even the worst episodes can be saved by a good scene between those two. So.
That's true.
Their chemistry is brilliant.
Yeah.
I do have a question for you, Peter and Emery.
Mm-hmm.
In the previous episode of the broadcast, you said this was better than Shades of Grey. You still want to stick by that?
It's certainly less boring than Shades of Grey. I think that's the biggest problem with Shades of Grey. It's just a turgid watch. Because A, it's lots of stuff you've seen before. And B, it's the awful bedside stuff. Whereas this is like an entire episode of the awful bedside stuff, basically.
I think the difference... I would stand by it for the specific reason that you have a conversation with someone about Shades of Grey. What do you have a conversation about? What you're actually having a conversation about is other episodes. You're not actually having a conversation about Shades of Grey, unless it's just one line, oh, it's a clip show. But you can have a conversation with people about this episode, terrible though it is, you can talk to people about it and have a laugh. So even if it's not enjoyable watching it, it can create enjoyment. I'm not aware of Shades of Grey creating any enjoyment at all in any context.
Because it's boring.
Yes. So I'm not trying to say that this is good.
No.
It's just...
Yes.
Oh, thank God for that.
Better isn't necessarily less... good.
No, it's just less bad. I think that actually... Almost the worst thing, other than, with the exception of properly offensive, actually the most damning criticism of any entertainment is that it's boring.
Yeah. And forgettable.
And Shades of Grey is boring. This is bad, but this is not boring.
And Shades of Grey is also extremely forgettable. A lot of diehard Trekkies, you have to remind them which episode you're talking about.
Because it's mostly other episodes in the first place.
Yep. And I until recently hosted a group for rabid Trekkies, and a lot of the members of that group are original series first run watchers, and they tend to block that one out of memory, and you have to remind them what one you're talking about with Shades of Grey.
Has anybody got any more points of this particular episode?
Now, beyond the fact that I'd forgotten just how much of a boring wooden spoon the actual ship Voyager was.
Yeah.
It's a bizarrely boring design. Compared to some of the exciting ships we had in Next Gen that weren't the main ship. All the ships designs they could choose, and they went for the giant wooden spoon in space.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, we'll play this advert and we'll be back for our ratings. and we'll be telling you lovely lot what we will be reviewing next time. So we'll be back after the sad.
Look at the size of those knockers.
A Young Frankenstein joke, really? Besides, mine are better.
The Inside Outcast podcast, I presume.
Yes?
From geekplanetonline.com?
That's us.
Please do describe your show for the benefit of the master of the house.
Okay. We claim to be the podcast where geek meets goth.
For 50 shows a year, we discuss a main topic. We usually pick at random, sometimes at the request of a listener.
And sometimes we take on a special guest or two.
Or provide commentary to movies, such as the Marvel superhero films.
We also feature a dark track of the week pulled from the dark underground, anything from post-punk to industrial metal.
And we even have occasional music podcasts where we play up to 10 songs.
With some discussion of the type of music, the musical artists, and the songs themselves.
But in short, we're a podcast that covers pop culture from a geeky and gothy perspective, focusing on the moments the worlds of the geek and the goth collide.
Television, films, comic books, sports, science, history, philosophy, religion, the occult. We talk about almost everything.
And we're not the only podcast on geekplanetonline.com.
That's right. There's film podcasts such as The Black Dog and Cinematic Dramatic.
Horror and cult podcasts like Hypnobob's and It's Mike and Ike's All-Star Summer Jamboree.
Television podcast, including The Babylon Project, Shake and Blake, and The Borgcast.
Then random shows such as Tangential Deviation, Irish Pubcast, and A Disappointment.
And Geek Planet Online doesn't have just podcasts. There's articles, reviews, and comic strips, too.
Very well. The master will be more than simply satisfied. Please to come in. There are refreshments in the dining area and dancing in the hall. Our resident DJ is dropping mad beats like they are hot, y'all. Please to raise the roof in his presence.
Hopefully everybody enjoyed that lovely ad. What ad that is, I have no idea because I haven't added it to the show yet. just want to go around quick review of the episode. So, out of 10, Peter and Anne-Marie, what would you give this?
2?
I would say 2, yeah. Because it isn't boring. Boring is a 1. So it gets... Yeah, it's 2 because it isn't boring.
Darren?
Unlike last week's episode, this didn't have any redeeming features in terms of unintentional goodness. So I'm actually going to go even lower. I'm going to give it a 1 because I think it is bad and I think it's boring as well. It has moments, but it's generally boring.
Okay, I'm going to have to give it a 1 just because this is makeup effects. And Robert Duncan McNeil was acting. This is acting. The ship was cack, the script was cack, but his acting was superb. And on the episode that we're doing next, we're covering Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Season 4, Bear Bad. So hopefully you can all join us for that one. So, from me, Darren, Peter and Anne-Marie, say goodbye everybody. Bye!
Bye! Bye. Bye.